and go build up to the Cameroon. What I give you here is a background of a country that knew everything it was going to do. And the parallels between the way we accept the things that are going on now around us are so horrendous. The way we're going to wipe out Nicaragua, the death squads continuing in Guatemala, the removing the Indian population because we want the coal and the uranium under them, displacing people all over the world, 60 million refugees, and the disease AIDS and all the scary things happening. And we sit back and we're numb. I don't really know the answer, but I know the answer has to be some kind of response. And then just getting quickly the quotation from the physical control of the mind, Dr. Delgado, and he wasn't Hitler's agent. He worked for the CIA and a professor at Yale University. And he was one of the people who was proud to publish, this is a quote from his book, and I've written it, enclosed in an article I've written, "The individual may think that the most important fact of reality is his own experience, but that is only his personal point of view, a relative frame of reference, which is not shared by the rest of the living world. This self-importance lacks historical perspective, for the brief experience existence of one person should be considered in terms of world, population, mankind, and the whole universe. It is quite reasonable to feel I am the most important creature that ever existed. But unless I realize the egocentric relativity of my appreciation at the same time, I ignore many other frames of reference, and I have to consider them. And actually, considering the others, I really don't matter at all. I'm here to serve the state." That's Dr. Delgado. Now on to, again, a part of Cameroon, and this ties in with the, does the CIA have press, such as the arrest in the Soviet Union? The Washington Post had an article, October 23, 1984, regarding the introduction of the neutron bomb in 1978 and how Jimmy Carter and Zbigniew Brzezinski used the Central Intelligence Agency to pay or let them do free persons overseas to praise the neutron bomb because people, and especially Soviet Union and the young generation, were outraged that you could use these vapors to kill people, leave the buildings, and then come in. Put the bodies in mass graves or the crematorium and own the property and nothing would be disturbed. And something very similar. And I believe that testing of the bomb, one part was in Jonestown, I believe, and I compared Jonestown to Cameroon last week and also the poison gas down in Cameroon. The article says the Carter administration set up a covert CIA program in 1978 to induce European press to write favorable about the neutron weapon. The press corps could give coverage on the bomb, either for money they'd be paid or for free. The United States wanted to send these bombs overseas. The study of the bomb came in an article called the Harvard Study. That's the group that put together at Harvard University called The Press and the Neutron Bomb, written by David Whitman. And it talks about the covert action program that was exposed in 1984, that the documents existed in 1978, that Jimmy Carter and Brzezinski would have the neutron bomb and that they should use the intelligence agencies to get the European community to say everything is all right. I have the feeling about advanced genetic sciences with their Noxy and know-how and the offices of where they got formed and how they work, they can get people in the media and various agencies to say there's nothing to worry about it. The interesting part about this is that the study shows how the European press responded, and there was a softening up of an anger to the neutron bomb. During the 1950s and 60s, the CIA used United States and foreign journalists as their agents. They gathered information, spied, they wrote agency-originated stories for legitimate publications. It also planted stories overseas news media and provided funds to keep publications going. The CIA did that. They also hired priests and religious ministers and rabbis and so forth. Then it goes on, because of public disclosure of the CIA using the news media for the Central Intelligence Agency purposes, because we're supposed to be a free country and have our own opinions and not have them directed like the mind speaker Ranger of 1984, because there was a sense of horror that what we were reading could have been written by the CIA, George Bush, who was then CIA director, in 1976 stopped the use of CIA employees working in United States news organizations, but George Bush's orders that the CIA not employ reporters and news people or publishers in the United States did not stop the use of foreign newsmen or foreign publications. So they can take a budget of $20 billion a year and buy these subsidiaries like they did airplanes, Air America, and so forth. They set up publications over in Europe, and then the articles looked like they were coming from opinions in Europe because they coming from Europe and went across the Atlantic. The CIA isn't responsible, but nobody asked where the money comes from. So it was a catch-22. The European person writes it, then it's quoted in the American press, then the CIA can pick it up and become something of a fact. And this article is about trying to push the neutron bomb, and that the government, our CIA, had a meeting, a CIA operation at the White House, of a mini special coordinating committee called the SEC, headed by David Arson, Deputy National Security Advisor Jimmy Carter at the time, and working with Walter Mondale, our great liberal candidate for the Democrats, who's surreptitiously planting neutron bombs while he was vice president under Carter. And the covert area would arrange for everybody to laud and praise the bomb because other people, concerned people, were worried about it, as I say, killing people and leaving the property. The CIA program was approved by meetings at the White House within a few minutes of discussion. In April 1977, Jimmy Carter delayed the production of the neutron bombs. In 1977, he delayed them. It doesn't say if they stopped, but President Reagan, when he took office in 1981, ordered neutron lance missile warheads and 8-inch artillery shells built and had them stored in the United States, for fear NATO wouldn't like it. Well, when Ronald Reagan came in, he didn't have to buck up against NATO, but within a few years in 1983, Lord Carrington, a member and co-partner with Peter, with Henry Kissinger from Kissinger Associates, became the head of NATO. So that I know Henry Kissinger and Fritz Kreme and Alexander Haig and Brzezinski, all out of the same fabric, wouldn't mind neutron bombs. So Ronald Reagan's had 5 years to develop them. And they were on the drawing board. And this article in 1984 said that several hundred neutrons have been produced and are stored. That was 1984, that they continued to make them, even though the NATO countries didn't have them. And the Washington Post had another story on neutron bomb reversal, how for a while the neutron bomb was just delayed. And it's a very interesting story about a gentleman who, his name is Walter Pincus, a writer for the Washington Post. And on June the 6th, 1977, he built the story about our production planning for the neutron battlefield weapon that would kill people and release neutrons that would destroy military installations through heat and blast. Now, the important thing about these is the very hot, the heat and the blast, because those two things are in the cloud in Cameroon that caused the death of these people, this mysterious death of these people. The neutron bomb is very hot. Now, this reporter, Mr. Pincus, was covering Washington committees, and he found the story by accident because he was going to what he called a boring White House Appropriations Committee hearing on Public Works Bill, where he read a single reference to enhanced radiation warhead for the Lance missile to be made in the Energy Research and Development Administration budget hearings. The House Appropriations Committee is talking about Public Works Bill. You'd think water, plumbing, electricity, energy, sun, energy from the sun, gas, coal, or what? No, it's energy from radiation, enhanced radiation. So he studied it and found out that what they passed and tacked onto that bill was the neutron bomb. And he wrote a story, said neutron killer warhead buried in the Energy Research and Development Administration hearings, the ERDA budget. It was hidden in there. So this story broke, and the neutron bomb has been put down verbally. People don't like the idea. There were demonstrations in Holland. 50,000 people had demonstrated against it because it means all of Europe can be dead, and all the buildings and churches and bridges and everything they want belongs to the victor. And the, another interesting thing about this, the Washington Post said, October 23rd, 1984, the storm that built slowly over the next months was largely attributable to one man reporting that Walter Pincus was the one man. He reported the making of the bomb. It made a major news story. He accomplished something. And, of course, as he sits back and gives you, the world, and me, the world, the story, then if everybody ignores it, Jimmy Carter put it aside for a while. Ronald Reagan loved it. Now he has deployed them, and he's deployed a lot of them, I understand, on the basis of downing the Korean airline. The Soviet Union is so bad, we have to deploy these kinds of warheads. So this is the story of the neutron bomb, very hot radiation. The neutrons, I guess it zaps you, pretty strong, the heat and the blast. Because down in Cameroon, there was a blast and there was heat. And that's the way the description goes. And the people died and the animals died, but the property remains, probably become like a CIA, Israel, Mossad military listening post now that the native population is out. Okay, that's a cynical speculation. Now, I'm going to cite a few articles on Cameroon, as many as I have time for. And if I don't have time for all of them, I'm going to do part three next week, because I take certain events such as advanced genetic sciences or Jonestown or the book Alternative 3 about space stations and use of them for genocide. And when I find an article that a book length, I put in the three broadcasts. I could write books on each of these, but I don't want to leave this because this has tremendous implications, both the way it was maneuvered and the way it is being covered up. And after the explosion at Cameroon, where these 1,200 native populations of the third world were wiped out, we quickly had the Pakistan hijacking and the shooting in Turkey in the synagogue, and nobody is thinking at all about Cameroon. Now, President Paul Biya of Cameroon announced, August 26th, New York Times, at least 1,200 people died from a cloud of gas that choked them to death. All the people heard was explosion. And the neutron bomb has its explosion, too. They didn't know toxic gas had been expelled. It killed them while they slept. And he went on to say that it was hard to get into the area to penetrate it. And the article continues, when Shimon Peres, the prime minister of Israel, arrived for a one-day visit, and I mentioned this last week, he brought a 17-man medical team and tons of medical supplies, and the Israelis went right to the area of the deaths. Now, Neil Walsh, who headed the United States Information Service in Cameroon, he still does, this is what he said. He said the toxic gas consists basically, and I had this last week, of a combination of carbon dioxide, hydrogen, and sulfide. But he said it apparently destroyed the lungs and mucous membranes. So all he has to contribute to these stories through the last week and a half, 2 weeks, is that the gas was basically a certain kind of combination, and it apparently did this, but he has nothing firm to say. Mr. Peter McPherson, the administrator for Agency of International Development, said, in quotes, the disaster which has occurred in Cameroon may be a Ripley, believe it or not, event. It appears to be an extremely rare natural event. And I cited last week that the only other time it happened was in Cameroon in 1984, 2 years ago. Then Dr. Edward Koenigsberg, Koenigsberg, from the Department of Defense, the United States Department of Defense, was assigned to the disaster office, heads the United States investigative team, coordinated by the Office of Foreign Disaster Assistance. His job was to find the exact cause of death and the nature of the gas. And the Defense Department sent Edward Koenigsberg over there as a military matter, which is interesting, considering the affinity of Zbigniew Brzezinski or Ronald Reagan or earlier Jimmy Carter for the neutron bomb and begging Europe to have them in 1977-78 and stockpiling them here because they didn't want them. And so America has made hundreds of them. We've pushed it, and all of a sudden, not the civilian doctors, Defense Department doctors, go over to check the matter. So this is the chicken being guarded by the fox. You know, the same old story of having the Defense Department try and find out how these people died. Now, Paul Krumke, a technical advisor to disaster assistance, said an early eruption came around Lake Manoon. I mentioned that last week. In Cameroon, it appeared to be the release of carbon dioxide. And again, he won't say what it is. And he names the different chemicals, and it was the same area, the same month, a week apart, 2 years difference, 1984, 1986. He said it is still not definitely known that cyanide was responsible for the 1984 deaths. The victims showed symptoms of cyanide poisoning, red splotches on their body, bleeding from the nose and ears, and people had burns. This was very hot, and it started with a loud explosion. Now, getting back to the Israeli politics that I mentioned last week, I'm going to cite an article from the New York Times, August the 26th, so you won't think I'm too cynical. I'm almost going to take it verbatim. Prime Minister Shimon Peres was in town to help usher the restoration of relationships between Israel and West African nations. Paul Blia of Cameroon organized a lavish reception. Hey, do you want to wait a second? Oh, usually they wait outside. We put on a record. I have someone here who can follow the program. It'll be real quiet. Do it real quiet. Okay. I'll let him do it this week. Shimon Peres was entertained in a way that nobody has ever put on a party in Cameroon before. Several thousand tribal dancers. I'm sure they had one for the Pope that was the same in 1985. Peres was swarmed by folk dancers and a sea of hands of people bedecked with flowers. And it turns out they were let out of school that day, and there was adulation, according to the New York Times, and kissing and bantering with the people in the crowd. And the paper in the country of Cameroon had Shalom written, the Hebrew letters. It's a big day. Their paper didn't understand Hebrew writing. It was published upside down, but that didn't matter. Now to the serious part of the article. We talked about the celebration last week. And I say most of the hands at the airport were from the president's ruling Democratic Union Party. And thousands of them were given the afternoon off, and they could greet the Israeli prime minister. Israeli officials said they believe that the easing of the diplomatic relationships would assist their oil, because the Arab oil-producing countries were not in such a monopoly now, and that Israel would assure that Gaddafi would not make any threats to African nations. And what this means is that we want to assure that these things that you have there, your minerals and your oil and so forth, will be in the hands of, again, the American Defense Department and Israel, and we will protect the president of Cameroon. Now, an interesting factor is that there was a coup in 1983, 2 years ago. A president had been there 22 years, and this president came in through the military coup, and as soon as he was in, the Israeli military advisors trained and equipped the president's guard and were loyal to Mr. Biya, the new president. And the guards are protecting him today. They wear green Israeli army uniforms, red Israeli paratroop boots, carrying Israeli Uzi submachine guns and galley assault rifles. That the fellow who effected the coup, the president of Cameroon, Mr. Biya, who kicked out the former president, is protected by Israel. Another interesting point is that since 1981, there was a secret agreement between Israel and the Mossad and Cameroon, a secret trade relations. And in 1983, when Mr. Biya took power, Israel established their special section in that country, in the main capital of Yaounde. Now, 1981 to 83 would build a good coup to assure Cameroon. And as I said, Israel helped kidnap a doctor. A doctor was chloroforming a person who was kidnapped in London to get him into Nigeria. These countries are side by side. And there are a lot of political machinations going on between our Defense Department and Israel into the coup, the politics, the guarding, and the arming of this particular country. And it goes on to say that there are 2,000 Israelis working in Africa, and right now they are trying to come to some agreement about Israel's relationships and very strong ties. They've helped arm South Africa. And Mr. Peres Shimon said in the newspapers in Cameroon, and they've been quoted in the New York Times, "We don't feel it is for us to make world policy in South Africa. We are a party to world policy." And that reminds me of what Adolf Hitler said about the individual only being unimportant. We think in terms of world policy, not of individuals. And we'll discuss South Africa later. We think of the world, not of individual countries. That's what Shimon Peres said. So he's been very close to this person. One of the big purposes of the takeover or the disinterest in the native population. A good percentage of this Cameroon organization that has the military junta is run by the president, who is a Catholic. And as I say, the Pope was down there. And this affiliation of knocking out the Muslims and the native populations is in cahoots with Israel, very powerful in arming them. And what was a secret agreement for years is out in the open. And now the powers that be and the president there now will never be removed by an attempted coup, because he's firmly protected by the Mossad. And I might say the same Mossad that protects Mr. Stroessner down in Paraguay, that protected Joseph Mengele at Paraguay, that gave security to Stroessner. Ask me why. I've told you for years my opinion of what was happening in that country in these conditions. But this is just one more example that was in the New York Times this week. Another article in the New York Times describes a scene of death There were a few discrepancies, but not big ones, about dying in their sleep. They were all asleep. Some were eating dinner when a cloud of poisonous gas came. Some were in front of their homes, and some stripped themselves of clothing in a desperate attempt to get away from the searing heat. That heat reminding me again of the neutron bombs that we have made and deployed and wouldn't be afraid to use. Another description of a typical family overturning pots and pans, wreathing in agony as a gas strangled them, and trying to get away from the poison gas. Now, the Cameroon army under the military dictatorship, this particular president has no interest in the exact count of people dead, similar to the Jonestown I mentioned last week, almost identical. In this case, the exact toll will never be known. The army never kept exact records of those that buried. They're only gauging how many died by how many lived in particular villages. The bodies are in mass graves. They're dug by army units. They're gone now. And prison inmates. We dug a mighty hole, they said, and collected them and put them in it. Now, it continues in the same article of New York Times, August 27th. The Israeli rescue unit will work along with the Cameroonians and with the United States Defense Department. And it says whether in the capital of Yaoundé or in the northwest provinces that disaster occurred, there was some concern and some curiosity, but no apparent agony and no national mourning. The president wouldn't allow it except one day for 2 hours. And realizing it's a military dictatorship, he didn't want people gathering in public. And then, sadly, it says the main concern this morning, the Cameroon Tribune said, wasn't about the disaster. It was about President Paul Biya's meeting with Shimon Peres. Another article from the Washington Post described the gas, probably pockets of water and lethal gas. The scientists remain concerned about the puzzling aspects of the situation. This has been going on for 2 weeks, and there isn't a scientist that will come forward and say what happened. They said there was a tremendous heat. The lake remained strangled and discolored and disfigured. The human dimension of the lake didn't reach the population. They didn't seem concerned because of international catastrophes. I suppose they mean Chernobyl and Bhopal and that kind. And then the New York Times had a story on international aid reaching Cameroon, and it discusses the 1984 disaster of August 15th. This one happened on the 22nd, and they were just yards apart. In 1984, 37 people were killed by a poison gas cloud. And the New York Times said the eruption was in the middle of the night. Again, in August, a week apart, the identical location and country. Again, a loud explosion in the night, and then a gas cloud hung 10 feet off the ground. Then the New York Times said 37 people walked into the cloud and were killed. Well, I don't know that there's 10 feet tall Cameroonians. They go on to say that if you were in the same room and turn your head away, the gas may not get to you. So it's interesting that the cloud stayed 10 feet high and the people walked into it. That isn't explained. But one thing that is explained very clearly is that after the 1984 disaster, American officials went over to Cameroon, and the Defense Department again, and people from Switzerland and Germany and France trying to study the cause of this gas. And maybe because they are NATO allies and NATO yet had not put the neutron bomb in Europe, and we were stockpiling them in America, they may be wanting to see the comparisons. The odious comparison is like dropping the bomb again at Nagasaki and Hiroshima. One was plutonium, one was uranium. They didn't have to drop both or either one, but the purpose was to study the range of the burns, the way it affected them, how they were 30 years later, whether it affected the genes. This was a scientific experiment on atomic bombs. It wasn't to save lives that would have been killed. The Japanese were ready to give up anyway, and we could have dropped it where there were no women and children. And there have been many good books and articles on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. But the 1984 disaster was studied by American scientists, which is righteous because Americans are producing the neutron bombs, and they worked under contract with the Cameroon government. But according to officials there, the discovery of what happened in 1984 is still confidential. It's locked up. Now, if these were natural phenomena, if these were poison gases, the lake wasn't volcanic. It didn't erupt. There was no earthquake. Nothing shook it, but a disruption of the lake would cause the cyanide that responsible this time for 1,200 murders. The other was a mini little explosion, maybe. 37 were killed. But because the tests were locked up, we'll never know, and that is the horrendous thing about it. But America is very altruistic. We always are in these cases. The United States government sent $25,000 and 300 tents for the survivors who cannot go back to their homes. They're told they can't go there. So therefore, that geography, the hills are green and beautiful and the food is growing. Just the animals died, the sheep and pigs and cows, and they've been put into big, deep graves. And the land is perfect. The houses are there, and it could be a listening post. It could be anything you wanted it to be, being as the cooperation of the military came in to investigate it. The military wanted these kinds of weapons. The military and the scientists from around the world have no consensus. What they knew in 1964, they locked up. And so the United States sent 300 tents. The $25,000 was a very nice fee to send, but we probably spent a half of a million, 500,000 maybe, who knows how much, 100,000 to pay the Defense Department and the team to go over to see what happened. I have a list of 8 or 10 particular people that are over there looking to see what happened. And another article in the Washington Post, Cameroon considers quitting volcanic area. Among the many mysteries is why a relative handful of people and animals survived in the nearby area. Otherwise, the death was almost uniform. Dean Yeoman from New Zealand, a helicopter, works for Heli Mission, a Swiss-based Christian support group that is used in Western Europe. Heli Mission, the helicopter mission for missionary, maintains a helicopter in Bamenda and a flying missionary with medical practitioners, and they flew in to see what happened to the people, many of them lying in heaps outside the doors of their huts. We were told that everybody died in their sleep, and now many of them were outside, but it doesn't matter. Some died with their hands held over their noses and mouths. Some, but not all, appeared to have blisters. Their bodies were covered in burns, parts of their bodies, and the adult bodies were horribly bloated. The children looked like normal dead people. None of the survivors appeared injured except for reddening and swelling around the eyes. And again, the cyanide, the blood out of the eyes and nose, and typical response to cyanide poisoning. The affected region is populated by Fulani tribesmen extending to the nomadic peoples far to the north in Nigeria, native Cameroonians. And this pilot went in, as I say, with the American mission, missionaries, Christian organizations, and they didn't understand why these phenomena happened. And they couldn't figure out why there was such a slow response. The first opinion was that only 40 died, and they thought, well, maybe they were comparing it to 1984 where 37 died. Well, anybody who saw one body would have known not 1,200, but hundreds were dead. And I'm going to do a little more on this because we're talking about the possibility of weapons when the government, when our government is so outrageous to even make, say, funding for the neutron and hiding it under some obscure energy bill and then going in and deploying them. Goodness knows what they can do when they lock up these, also lock up these reports from 1984, same place, same country, same kind of death. Well, this is Mae Brussel, and my time is up for World Watchers, and I'll be back with you next week. In concluding, the station wants to thank Uncle Gaylord's Ice Cream Cafe,